The app that brought us puppy ears and rainbow vomit is getting serious about augmented reality. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Snapchat made its name with silly AR filters, or lenses as they call them. In recent years, it's expanded into shopping, allowing users to try on clothing, jewelry, and makeup in the app. Now, Snap is selling this technology to other businesses, and the company announced this week it's pushing AR into the real world, bringing AR mirrors to some Men's Warehouse and Nike stores in the U.S. Earlier this month, I went to the company's headquarters in Santa Monica to try the tech out myself.
My name is Carolina Arguelles Navas. I lead Snap's AR product strategy globally across all of our different product areas.
Carolina says try-on technology has really caught on with users.
The idea of virtually trying on sunglasses and thinking, oh yeah, that makes sense. If I could try it before I buy it all from home, it makes sense. We've actually already have over 250 million people have virtually tried on products 5 billion times on Snap in the past year. This isn't the future of shopping. It was technically not even the present because that was the past. And so this is really about how does the future industry, evolve to really start to incorporate this type of technology because it's helpful for people.
There are various different systems that different retailers are using to do virtual try-on. I've seen Walmart has its own version where you can sort of create your own avatar or pick from a lineup of different models. There's mirrors, enabled with different kinds of visualizations. What makes augmented reality and kind of the mobile context, like what makes that particularly beneficial about using that technology for trying things on?
I think at its most basic, everyone has a smartphone in the palm of their hands. So being able to tap into a device you're already using is hugely important. Being able to access these types of technologies and experiences with something you already have, and even on the platforms or applications you already have downloaded to your phone, is also very helpful. Because shopping is also more than even just, let me get the confidence of, do I like how it suits me? Also, let me ask my friends for their advice. Having these types of experiences to virtually try on products and be able to very easily share that with friends to ask for that advice, to make that decision. But there's been a lot of challenges for people to actually, and retailers in particular, to actually incorporate this technology. On one side, it's because they oftentimes don't have the existing assets to go do it, or the skills to know how to build these types of experiences. And that's where it's really important that we aren't just building technology and building a vision of the future, is that we're actually investing in an entire industry that's gonna support the adoption of this.
When it comes to try-on tech, there are kind of two difficult variables, I guess. There's the body, the face, the complexion, all of the complexities of the human that's trying it on. And then there are all the dimensions of the garment. Can it approximate the actual fit of a garment?
For apparel, we've been taking many different approaches to make sure that it's an accurate reflection. We actually handle that with a separate solution, which we call Fit Finder. And what this does is it takes information about the garment and its exact dimensions at every single size. And it also combines that with information that you have provided, such as your height, weight, your preference. I like a loose style. I like a fitted style, because this is also
a huge change.
And I imagine
the fabric type also affects those
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
There's a lot of variables.
All of that into account. And then it is going to give you a size recommendation. How does it do this? Well, it actually says for all this information we have about people who have a similar body weight distribution and have a different and a similar fit preference, what have they purchased? More importantly, what did they return? And based on that information, what size should you buy? And so today what we're doing is we're really using the camera to visualize what does the item look like? Do I like the style of the item? And then we kind of add this fit and AI solution to say, okay, now what size should I buy? Now, more and more of these things are coming together into the same experience, but for clothing in particular right now, we really want to make sure it's very accurate. And so we're using both technologies to really bring that together.
All right. You want to show me?
Carolina guides me to a room that sort of looks like a photo booth. The entrance is in the shape of the Snapchat Ghost logo.
And actually, these lights, they look good. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right.
It's pretty bright in there, and there's a big vertical screen, sort of like a giant phone, where you can play with goofy Snapchat filters, like the viral Shook filter that gives you big, wild eyes, or this one that puts you in a giant puffy jacket.
Oh, I'm like the AI Pope.
You are literally the AI Snap Pope, and I love that. You look great.
Rippy Pope.
Rippy Pope.
It also lets you virtually try on real clothes and accessories from different brands.
Zenni, this is one of an amazing eyewear retailer. So these are some of the shades that they sell. So if you're looking for some, you know, some spicy eyewear, some hearts, you know.
Like a 70s rock and roll concert.
You are. You're looking really spicy. But of course, some Dior action there. You look fabulous. And going even more utility, here's a Prada bag. Okay. So if you just extend out your arm. Yeah. And then we can actually change the color and the size so you can see different items. They all look great with your outfit. Buy it. Done.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Unfortunately, that Prada bag remained virtual for me. I didn't actually buy it. All this technology is pretty cool to play with as a user, and it's increasingly available outside the Snapchat app through the company's AR Lens Studio, which brings the AR experience to other businesses.
My name is Brian Cavanaugh. I'm the Director of Project Management and Business Development at Fisherman Labs.
That company is a partner of Snapchat's AR Lens Studio, where Brian helps develop virtual try-on features for brands like Louis Vuitton and Signet Jewelers. He says this technology is something retailers want in on, but often don't know where to start. That's where he comes in.
We work with the client team. We figure out what their goals are going to be, figure out what products they want to feature, and then we're off to the races. And from there, we're able to leverage some of the technology that's built into the Lens Studio platform that makes it extremely easy to do. There's a lot of complexities that can be built into it and customizations that can be done. But out of the box, Lens Studio and Snap really provide templates and sort of frameworks to build on top of that make all of the try-on aspects that the brand wants to target extremely easy to do. So we're just kind of a plug-and-play at that point. So for us, we're kind of an end-to-end solution from strategy to actual design and development of that, all the way through to when that user gets to see it live in their hands through the camera.
Brian adds as AR technology continues to improve, he expects to see this being used outside of the entertainment and e-commerce spaces.
Now that we can recognize, you know, surfaces, vertical surfaces, rooms, environments, objects, all of those different things, and they're easy to plug into, especially using LiDAR technology, if you know what that, it's like the kind of like the light laser on the back. You can get real-time measurements of some of these spaces, and again, you can drop or apply anything that you want. So you can do like floor segmentation to see, I'm doing a kitchen renovation, like figure out what we're going to switch the floor to, right? What color am I going to paint the walls? And you can combine all that into a very like real tool to figure out what I like, what action I want to take next as a consumer. You know, with AR, you're not just actually watching a story unfold. Now you get to be a part of the story, right? And to me, it's the fact that now I can immerse myself into this world that I have never been able to see or even fathom before. And now I get to live the story. That's really cool. And so I think, again, combining all of these new technologies to get bigger, faster, and more readily available, we're going to come up with some really cool experiences.
But with the augmented reality tech used for all of this come some privacy concerns. To make an accurate digital overlay, these tools often scan users' appearance, head shape, facial features, things we can't really change if there's a security breach. So I asked Carolina what happens to that data.
Augmented reality and using the camera doesn't have to actually be something that's storing biometric data that makes you identifiable. And that's the approach that we've taken, which is to make sure that, yes, the camera can in the instant track that's a face and that eyes, but you cannot track that is that person's face. None of that information is being stored and used or can be used for identifiable information. And so this becomes a topic where, especially if you're a company who wants to start to invest in this space or you're looking for a vendor for how to use it, you really do need to ask questions, because depending on another vendor or another solution out there, there might be different ways that they're tracking this information that couldn't necessarily be as privacy safe as it should be. But for us at Snap, it's a priority because we agree it's really important. And that obfuscation of identifiable information is really important to protect kind of the future and the safety of how this technology is used.
So it's being stored locally and not sort of going into a database somewhere?
Nothing's being stored. It's actually the camera can identify. That's just a face in real time mm-hmm. to just place an item, but nothing's being stored in terms of it's this face or this is the image of this face or I'm capturing an image of what's on screen. All we can come back to say is this AR experience went live and a face was identified within it because it was activated, but no content was actually captured, stored, and then again used for kind of any of that identifiable information.
So beyond TryOnTech, where do you see AR going in the future?
I mean, we really believe AR is going to disrupt and improve almost every major industry. You have this integration of AR in areas like entertainment and live events. We also see an incredible opportunity within the fitness space. You have, leading companies like Nike, who does a lot more than sell products. They really have a mission about movement and really getting the world moving. And they're using these AR experiences to actually help people move in a really fun way. It's almost like a game, but it's actually an active game. It has you stand up. In order to play this game, you have to jump. You have to do certain arm movements or exercises. It really truly is that expansive of what it can do.
That was Carolina Arguelles Navas at Snap and Brian Kavanaugh at Fisherman Labs. We've got more on Snap's latest plans for AR and AI at our website, marketplacetech.org. This week, Snapchat's artificial intelligence chatbot feature, known as My AI, became available to all users. At Snap's annual Partner Summit this week, the company announced the chatbot can suggest filters that would work best for users' images, recommend destinations on maps, or generate images from prompts. And more on the data privacy issues we talked about with Carolina. Last year, Snap faced a class action lawsuit in Illinois, the only state with a biometric data privacy law. The company agreed to settle for $35 million, though it maintains it didn't violate the law. Snap also added in-app consent notices for Illinois users. Last year on the show, we talked about that Illinois state law called the Biometric Information Privacy Act and a different lawsuit brought by truck drivers who said their fingerprints were collected in the workplace without their consent. It's all at our website, marketplacetech.org. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. Rosie Hughes and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Lydia Morrell is our intern. Becca Weinman is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.